She never forgot Cherie. Today she had fashioned croquignoles of the most fantastic and alluring shapes for him. So when she saw the boy come trudging across the old field with his gleaming little new rifle on his shoulder, she called out gaily to him, "Cherie! Cherie!" But Cherie did not need the summons, for he was coming straight to her. His pockets all bulged out with almonds and raisins and an orange that he had secured for her from the very fine dinner which had been given that day at his father's house. He was a sunny-faced youngster of 10. When he had emptied his pockets, La Folle patted his round red cheek, wiped his soiled hands on her apron, and smoothed his hair. Then she watched him as, with his cakes in his hand, he crossed her strip of cotton back of the cabin and disappeared into the wood. He had boasted of the things he was going to do with his gun out there.
"You think they got plenty deer in the wood, La Folle?"
he had inquired, with the calculating air of an experienced hunter.
"No, no," the woman laughed. "Don't you look for no deer, Cherie. That's too big. But you bring La Folle one good fat squirrel for her dinner tomorrow, and she going to be satisfied."
"One squirrel ain't a bite. I'll bring you more'n one, La Folle,"
he had boasted pompously as he went away. When the woman, an hour later, heard the report of the boy's rifle close to the wood's edge, she would have thought nothing of it if a sharp cry of distress had not followed the sound. She withdrew her arms from the tub of suds in which they had been plunged, dried them upon her apron, and as quickly as her trembling limbs would bear her, hurried to the spot whence the ominous report had come. It was as she feared. There she found Cherie, stretched upon the ground with his rifle beside him. He moaned piteously.
"I'm dead, La Folle. I'm dead. I'm gone."
"No, no," she exclaimed resolutely, as she knelt beside him. "Put your arm round La Folle's neck, Cherie. That's nothing. That going to be nothing."
She lifted him in her powerful arms. Cherie had carried his gun muzzle downward. He had stumbled. He did not know how. He only knew that he had a ball lodged somewhere in his leg, and he thought that his end was at hand. Now, with his head upon the woman's shoulder, he moaned and wept with pain and fright.
"Oh, La Folle, La Folle, it hurts so bad. I can't stand it, La Folle."
"Don't cry, mon baby, mon chéri," the woman spoke soothingly, as she covered the ground with long strides. "La Folle gon' mind you. Dr. Beaufils gon' come, make mon chéri well again."
She had reached the abandoned field, and as she crossed it with her precious burden, she looked constantly and restlessly from side to side. A terrible fear was upon her, the fear of the world beyond the bayou, the morbid and insane dread she had been under since childhood. When she was at the bayou's edge, she stood there and shouted for help as if a life depended upon it.
"Oh, petite maître, petite maître, venez donc, au secours, au secours."
No voice responded. Cherie's hot tears were scalding her neck. She called for each and every one upon the place, and still no answer came. She shouted, she wailed, but whether her voice remained unheard or unheeded, no reply came to her frenzied cries. And all the while Cherie moaned and wept and entreated to be taken home to his mother. La Folle gave a last despairing look around her. Extreme terror was upon her. She clasped the child close against her breast, where he could feel her heart beat like a muffled hammer. Then, shutting her eyes, she ran suddenly down the shallow bank of the bayou, and never stopped till she had climbed the opposite shore. She stood there quivering an instant as she opened her eyes. Then she plunged into the footpath through the trees. She spoke no more to Cherie, but muttered constantly,
"Bon Dieu, ayez pitié La Folle, bon Dieu, ayez pitié moi."
Instinct seemed to guide her. When the pathway spread clear and smooth enough before her, she again closed her eyes tightly against the sight of the unknown and terrifying world.